Hello, everyone.
Hello, Nathan.
Hello.
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 Welcome to Reckless Attack, a Dungeons & Dragons deep-voiced podcast, actual 5th edition deep...
Again with the order. Podcast.
Well, you know, you try to throw in the variables and it all comes apart. Hello, I am Dungeon Master Nathan. Thank you once again for joining us here around our table on Reckless Attack. So excited to once again be playing with the extremely excellent, powerful, wonderful players here at Reckless Attack. Starting with...
Hi, everyone. It's me, Jonathan. What a great day. I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is celebrating the return to Agmar from our adventure out into the wilderness. And it's just having a pretty good time of it, I think. Like, a little bit disappointed at how things have gone. But there's more adventure to be had, so not too disappointed.
Why did it go so well?
Yeah, right. Like, there wasn't more danger. I only got to run from one skeleton.
At even least we have like a giant monster to face in a couple
days. Yeah, right? Like, he's got something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's how I'm doing. And I'm going to shift it over to Steve.
Hey, everyone.
My name is Steve, and I am playing Zelv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk, who is just happy to be back in the city and not have to deal with some weird creatures outside with all the fear and darkness and all of that. And
horrible lightning monsters.
Yeah, yes. Lightning monsters trying to eat our beloved sky whales.
Yeah, the whole thing. Steve said before the episode started that he's like desperately itching to hit the long rest button.
Yes.
I need to hit the long rest button.
But at least now we only have to deal with the fear and darkness within the city of Agmar.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a step up.
That's a known entity. You know?
Yeah. Like, that's true. That's in many ways. comfortable, horrific danger.
And across the table from me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric of the Arcana Domain. And hoo boy, is she ready for some sleep.
Yeah.
Everyone is, well, not everyone. I think Checkers is still doing fine, but everyone is
Val
feeling
especially
it.
Would like to sleep.
Yep, I would imagine.
Been walking for hours.
Yep.
Has some questions, sleep questions, I would imagine
sleep
as
questions,
well.
Sleep questions, yep. Mm-hmm. Throw it over to the last person.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock, who is pleasantly surprised at how well this whole adventure has gone. You know, we got both the bones, we're bringing them back to the other bones, like, it's a good time.
And you didn't have to carry one of them.
Yeah, for hours.
Yeah, that would have been not impactful of your roles, but would have been impactful of the flavor, and
right?
Oh my god, so tight.
Selv with the big brain plays.
Yeah, basically. Right. Well, again, all of our podcast problems can be solved by stacking them.
It's true. An actual stacking podcast.
Exactly. Just be like, oh, Mothman attack? Well, we have this other problem. What if we just put this other problem on top of the Mothman?
We have this other Mothman. Let's just put the two on top.
Interesting.
But here's my question. If we were to stack the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild, what's the order of that stack?
Ooh, that's a good... I have a
theory.
Yeah, I have...
Cass has to be on the bottom.
I like to think that there would be both a frog on the bottom and the top.
A frog sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine Mango and then Cass.
But Mango would
Mango
get,
would get yeah. so compressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
squished.
This is true. But
he got squished a couple episodes
I think
ago.
It would
of,
be...
of the other options of frogs, Mango is the most likely to be able to
I say no
that.
Frog on the bottom.
Yeah, I think it's got to be like Kaskrin petting Mango and then the rest of the stack.
Or like Mango gets as flat as possible, and so you're only like straddling. You're not like putting your full weight
yeah.
on Mango,
yeah.
maybe.
You're just standing over Mango.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think Mango, Kaskrin,
Selv,
Checkers, Val, Junior?
Oh, I would think Val would be before,
yeah.
lower
yeah.
than Checkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Selv,
I don't know if Checkers
Val,
could
true.
Like hold up Val as yeah. a problem with his like 3 feet of size. So...
all right,
all right,
bring it back, bring it back.
Well, we have downtime today, so we can figure that. That can be how you spend some of your...
Another That's team our next building. Yeah, team building activity.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone pray we are literally building a team.
Yeah.
A stack of teams.
Well, guys, you have successfully made it back, basically. We'll give you a nice a rounding error into into the Red City of Agmar after a long day of adventuring, of dramatic rescues, of ambushes, of strange otherworldly reveals. You have successfully made it back, and you've made it back in time before having to travel at night, or worse yet, having to spend the night out of doors. You are coming back on the trail from the forest, and you see a small contingent of Bones, the undead centurions who help guard the city, and as you approach, you can tell that Namgar, one of the lieutenants for the Red Guard, the town guard, is there, holding up a torch and clearly waiting for your guys' arrival. So, after several hours of travel, how does everyone look? And how are they feel? What are the spirits see as they emerge into the clearing and are able to see the Red City for the first time since they left earlier that day?
Val looks normal. I don't think got hit at all. Thank you, Selvin Cass. Mm-mm. She's actually still pretty tidy and, like, no grass stains, no blood caked on her at all. Just her 5-foot dark hair, clean and pristine in her braid, ending at the nape of her neck. Her leather armor, pristine as well. No grass stains on her, nothing. Maybe, like, a few singes because she got close to the fire,
right. Yeah,
but it
fair.
Didn't actually get hit. But... damn, does she look exhausted.
Yeah, it's been a day.
So tired. There's definitely, like, her eyes are red because she's been crying, and she is just, like, worn down.
Val's adventuring day started with mind-linking with an untethered.
Yeah.
Like, that is how Val's day started, and it just kept going from there.
It's been an emotional
day for everyone, but also for Val.
Yeah.
I want to say Kaskrin's actually the opposite. Like, he got scorched by the smoke creature. Like, his skin is like a faint red.
Absolutely.
And he's just got like scratches from traveling through the woods. There's just like leaves and sticks poking out of his beard. And he, you know, he looks like he has been through the ringer, just like pulling, you know, bringing these two, the bone stack, through the forest.
I appreciate you just very casually just dropping bone stack.
But inside, he is, like, radiant. Like, we did it. We saved both of them. Everyone made it back home. Like, good job, everyone.
And I would imagine, like, let's not forget, and we didn't really talk about this last episode, but something happened to Kaskarin out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a strange voice. There was a flash of light. Kaskarin feels empowered now and even more connected to whatever is giving him his powers. And I would imagine that that also is probably radiating a little bit more too inside of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, on top of the good feelings you are feeling, that is also definitely present.
More than anything, Kaskarin is proud of all of us, of what we've done. He's proud of himself for being able to, like, get through this, and he's feeling good.
I'm also just imagining Cass's pristine white beard is that, like, weird melty bit all over on the outside because he got singed. Yeah. So it's just, like, weirdly shiny because part of it has, like, melted.
I was like, they have black and, like,
I was imagining, because you talked a lot about grass stains, of his white beard having grass stains on it.
Yeah. Also, and, like, dirt and, like, all this stuff.
There's some of that, like, magic coral from Checkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, still stuck. Yeah.
He like is covered in, like, pine tar. Like, that's what happened.
I like that we're all just, like, piling on ways that Cass is just grosser, and like we're all like, no, this is important that we really establish how grody Kaskarin is right now.
So Selv is basically walking, kind of maintaining the same speed as the group, but as the walls of Agmar come into view, he kind of speeds up a little bit and then realizes that he's outpacing everybody and kind of slows back down to meet up with the rest of the group. But he's been singed, so there's kind of black soot marks on his arms and maybe around his neck a little bit. You could see little small tears in his clothing where he got caught by some of the coral. But once he actually sees the city, you could actually see him stand up a little straighter, and he goes back to more or less carrying his staff instead of using it more like a walking stick.
Yeah, yeah, leaning on it.
Yeah, so Selv has significantly brightened up at seeing the city.
And both physically and mentally, Checkers is doing great. Having a great
statistically
time.
Statistically,
yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah, like even though it's pretty late in the evening, Checkers has been just kind of like bouncing around, like just hanging out, having a good time, being a little bit more talkative even than he usually is. And on the on the way back, actually, he's been drawing pretty much this whole time on a piece of paper. And as they finally see the Red City of Agmar, he would go up to Selv and be like, "Hey, Selv, look at this." And he would hand you a piece of paper that has a drawing of the Untether just like face first into a bed of coral, and Selv just like action flipping off of it into safety with a little frog face in the corner. It's like, this is cool, right?
This is very nice. Thank you, Checkers.
Yeah.
If 100% accurate.
If the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild does not have a fridge already for all these pictures, yeah, we need to get one. Yeah.
Oh, I'm imagining like each of us in our room has like our own like
a corkboard.
One wall is just dedicated to Checkers drawing.
Incredible.
That's actually we have like a lounge on the second floor, right?
Yeah.
That's just one wall. That's it. Yeah. It's just Checkers drawing. It's all up there, just proudly displayed.
Yeah. Right, going detailing our adventures together.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Turning Red, the new-ish Pixar movie as of this?
Not yet. I have tried to get David to watch it, and he's like, I'm not ready to be emotionally attacked.
I have heard that it is like emotionally devastating to Asian people.
It's intense. For anyone who has ever had any sort of difficult relationship to a parent, who is, you know, ever struggled with identity, like there's a laundry list of people who it is emotionally devastating for, and it's not exclusive, where it's compounding, you know, where it's like, if you check multiple of these boxes, watch out. But it made me think there, maybe you've seen the gif of like the main character essentially starts writing, like making fan art of a boy that she has a crush on, and just, you can, like, there's a moment where she like starts drawing very slowly and then starts manically growing and like in getting even crazier and like going through multiple pages because she's so consumed with her desire to make art about her crush. And that's what I imagine the mango energy is over the course of several hours of just like,
oh, the Checkers
manic
energy.
Or yeah, excuse me, the Checkers energy of creating. But anyway, you guys,
and here, if you flip through them real fast, yeah, it's like moving. Yeah.
That would be great, actually, if I could make a flip book of,
yes,
of Selv just, yeah, like jumping 100%. Through the air, be like, hey.
Yeah, it's like five drawings or like 10 drawings. It's a stack of paper.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Here we go. Stacks, yep, again.
Done and done. Especially because you guys rolled so well in your skill challenges. You had no real distractions. Nothing throwing you off. So you guys approach the kind of outermost gates, and as you guys get closer, everyone pretty much starts to move towards you to meet you as soon as they can see you, basically. And very quickly, there is a flurry of activity. Certainly, there are greetings, but mostly everyone is concerned to make sure the pious and the seeker are obviously taken care of. But you guys are kind of hustled inside of the city.
That was much faster getting in than last time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You guys have the VIP pass now. As you guys are kind of getting shuffled in and you come through the gate, and clearly you guys are kind of being ushered down one of the main roads on this outer part of the city over to the Bones kind of headquarters barracks. As you guys are going, Namgar comes up to you guys and his eyes are wide and is clearly beaming with pride, with excitement, with awe and astonishment, and essentially claps as many of you on the back as he can in short order and says, you made it back in one day. Well, and with all of the missing bones. Well done. Well done, everyone.
We actually found a few extra.
What? And he stops. What?
Bones with a lowercase b.
Ah, okay. Checkers, that makes sense.
Ixnay on the extra bones.
We'll deal with checkers on that one.
You can put that in your report. But you are back. Is everyone safe? Everyone?
All hail. All
hail. All hail. And then you take your hammer and you kill him.
God. This is like, that did not work the way I thought it would.
A glorious war has begun, and he just starts killing everyone.
All hail the overtethers.
Yeah.
No. All healthy, Namgar. It's good to be back.
I would like that while Checkers was drawing, Val was just writing a report up in her notebook, and she just like hands Namgar just like a whole notebook.
thank you. Usually it takes a little while for paperwork to get processed.
There are diagrams of like the combat. Like she drew out like as best she can remember like each action we all took and like what the smoke creature did.
And I'm imagining that Namgar would not say this, but this is way too much information and they have like a standard form. So like technically you have created more work for him to do to like take these notes, digest them, and then put them onto their official forms, but he just appreciates it and doesn't.
Val hasn't
say
gone
anything.
Through the Red Guard training, so she doesn't know the proper paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. So. And but again, this is behind the scenes knowledge of Namgar's just like,
I feel like next time he's going to be like, by the way, this is our
here's several sheets of our action report.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He's just going to show up with like a binder because he knows there's going to be like 50 incident reports filled out by the Golden Tree.
It's probably one of those things where like in a normal onboarding process for a new guild to the city, you would have received those and you just haven't yet. Or maybe, you know, maybe Berga has some stashed away and hasn't bothered to tell you about it, but.
So for my own headcanon, how good at drawing is Valeska? Because I'm wondering if there's like sketches and things throughout this.
Yeah, I think she would be very good at like highly realistic drawings because part of her training at the Illustrious Atheum would be diagramming the natural world or like engineering diagrams, like architectural diagrams. So she's like very... There's no like artistic impression in this drawing. It's like
realistic.
It's realistic. Yeah. It is matter of fact.
Yeah.
There's no like.
It's about communicating information.
In it. Yeah.
And it's
I also
proportions.
I also imagine like any of the combat stuff is like X's and O's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And arrows, and it looks like football plays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know. And then
each person has.
To...
There's like a legend where like Cass is like a little.
There's a K. Like, there's
we're all the O's or whatever, and there's inside each one is like a C, a K, a V.
Love that.
Yeah.
And now a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words... Trust no one, Tyr. Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hi everyone, David here with The Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless A Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
So, essentially, Namgar, as you're walking, is getting the basics of like what happened, et cetera, et cetera. And you guys are all kind of shuffled back into this old manor house that serves as the headquarters for the Bones. When you guys walk into this house, and again, just to remind you, it is dark. The horrible feeling that you have is unfortunately still there. And there's like that almost soot-like covering to every inch of this place. But you guys are met with many members of the Bones who are standing kind of in the big foyer of this building and who clearly were standing and waiting for your collective return. And as soon as you come through, the Pious and the Seeker are, again, kind of ushered off into a side room and are immediately kind of set upon, almost wordlessly, by their fellow Bones members. And for the first time, probably, or the first time that I've said out loud, the shield turns to you guys.
Val will wordlessly like hand over the little pouch she has, the broken armbands. Just like kind of open it and show what it is and be like, here you go.
Yeah, I like the idea of like he is, again, he is this large, unnormally?
Abnormally?
Abnormally. Not normally sized. He's a large. He's a large member of the Bones. And one of the ones who really like visually stands out from the other ones. And I'm imagining this like large figure just like kind of turning on his heel and being ready to like address you guys in his kind of very dramatic way. And then you just like, here you go.
yeah, tiny Val just being like, hey.
And he looks down at the shattered remains of these two armbands or the bits of them and pauses and then closes his gauntleted fist over them, kind of rewrapping them. You have done us a great service today. Thank you for not just bringing back my people, but bringing them back as whole as you were able.
Val just nods her head.
Will you be able to help the Pious and reattach an armband since it is not fully off?
He looks, because this is the first time that he has seen that you guys even had this. He kind of looks at his closed fist, and he looks back at you guys and says, this is not knowledge that we possess. I am not sure how best to proceed. The few times while we have been conscious and of our own free will, when this has happened, it has been out in the field and has been done in an unsalvageable way. But this gives us hope. I do not know anything about how we were created or the intricacies of the arcane works, but with these pieces, there is a chance.
I am happy to offer assistance in any research or quest to find out how to fix them or just any knowledge I can help provide to get the Bones back to what they were.
He looks at you and, again, looks through an unlidded skull plate armor and kind of nods. The stone remains untethered. We do not know if the Pious will remain stable, but if you believe there is hope, we can prolong the suffering of our brother a little longer. If you believe that they will be returned.
I don't know, but I'd at least like some time to see what information I can find.
I will not put a deadline on you. Your assistance is appreciated. And should it go on too long, you will be the first to know.
Thank you.
Is there anything you guys want to do in here? Or say? Or what have you?
So Checkers would definitely just go up to Val and be like, hey, are we getting our rope back?
Back.
It's already just like immediately, is it our rope?
Yeah.
Are we getting a back
now? I love
now?
How Checker's just saying our rope when Morel, no, my rope.
Let me rephrase that. Hey, Val, can you get my rope back? Because it's too obvious if Checker's goes up to try to steal it now.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
So Val will start by telling the shield the net and rope that the pious was wrapped in. They said they were using it as a well on which to draw energy to maintain their grip on their armband and to maintain control. Do they still need that? Is there something we can provide? Or
that's very interesting. I had wondered about that.
We didn't need to tie them up or restrain them in any way. It was just something they found.
Understood. I will speak to them myself as well, but I believe it would be best if they continued being able to draw from it for a long time. I will say that he was able to survive as long as he did on that item speaks to how powerful it may be. So if you ever come across another item in this interim time that is similarly powerful, it could also serve its purpose. But for now, we would appreciate being able to continue to use it for his care.
So I imagine Kaskrin has been talking to the pious basically this whole time, from the moment that we found him through, you know, the journey through the forest to now, as he is being kind of like shuffled away to for treatment, for investigation. And Kaskrin has just, you know, finished talking to him, saying his goodbyes before now turning to the shield and saying, I'm glad we were able to recover both of them. You provide an incredible service to the city, and basically I'm glad everyone's okay.
It is us who owe you on this day. Thank you. And as you say that, all of the members of the Bones turn to face you all. And in perfect synchronization, they all clench their gauntleted right fist and place it over their chest. And you just hear the perfect clinking of armor as they all turn to you and salute.
Why don't we leave them to what they need to do? It's been a long day.
Agreed.
On the way out, Val will go up to the Fortunate and just say, I'm glad you're okay.
The Fortunate nods at you and says, I'll walk with you guys. The four of you, the Fortunate and Namgar, all leave together, all to kind of go into the city proper. And again, Namgar is walking with you guys, and he says, hell of a thing you guys have done. From what I can tell, from what your stories, from the bit of the report that I've read, it's a strange time and a strange creature you fought. I am sure it will be dire tidings for the city, but having you four here, I feel better.
Thanks, Namgar. That means a lot.
Now, I am sure you have not forgotten the other pressing issue here in the city. And as you guys are walking, you guys are now going through kind of the big proper gates on the side here. And Namgar is kind of, you notice, like, Namgar is kind of like piping in and out. Whenever he approaches someone, kind of pipes down and will be like, when you guys are left alone, we'll start talking again. Vina has told me to keep you guys in the loop as to what our plans are. She was sorry that she couldn't be there to meet with you. She is, and I don't, how much do you all know about Vina and the Calvettas?
We met her when she came to the guild, and Val will look at Cass and be like, that's all I know.
I know a bit. I've read her record. But other than that, not much of the Calvettas themselves.
I don't know how extensive your dossiers are, but let's just say she tries to limit the amount of time that she is with the bones outside of public channels because, frankly, she doesn't enjoy the image of the child of a governor of the Pentarchy associating with their shock troops. I hope you understand.
Belle, like, falters a step. I'm like, what? Looks at Cass like, huh?
Oh.
Mind Link, did you know that?
Yes, but it didn't seem like particularly
relevant.
That
is highly relevant. And this is all Mind Link, where Val is now mind yelling at Cass. Like, that is highly relevant information. So, why would you not tell me that?
The other two of you, I assume you guys are not paying attention to whatever.
Kaskrin is like, he has like this quizzical look, and then all of a sudden everyone just sees him like put his
wince
ears
a little bit.
I was going to say, like once that happens, I think Selv's passive insight is probably high enough that he then kind of like he sees Cass kind of wince and then kind of just looks over at Val
staring daggers.
I'm assuming Val is like, yeah, intently staring.
Eyebrows
at
up,
him.
Like hands on hips, like
Val does not give you the action to respond to her.
Yeah, right.
She's just talking to you right now.
Exactly.
So the other thing that Selv does, whether consciously or unconsciously, is he does not get in between Val and Cass.
Fair.
Just in case.
Not wrong.
You don't want that energy.
Yeah. He might get hit with something.
We don't know the metaphysics of this spell, so probably
right.
best.
Yeah.
But the other, I guess only Checkers, as the one who is just going along happily.
Namgon and I are just having a good time.
Yeah, he is talking to all of you, but maybe only Checkers is hearing right this moment. And he says, so first and foremost, we're taking some extra precautions over the next two nights ahead of the festival. We are calling in as many of the reserve town guard as we can. We're having people work night shifts in preparation to make sure we have the best chance of responding quickly to this thing. But we are also not changing any of the assigned guards who are supposed to be working the day of the festival. Vina had a whole thing about causality and fate, and if we assign more, is that good or bad? It's a whole. The point is, we're just whoever was working that night is who's going to be there. We're not telling any of the guards yet. We're going to brief them in the night just to ensure nothing goes wrong. But that brings me to you guys. I don't expect that you will take this kindly. I apologize. We do not want the four of you out on the streets of Agmar tonight or tomorrow. At night. We know the four of you can handle yourselves against this creature. But we want to make sure that the youths that are there are healthy and able to fight. So, as much as I know, it may pain you. And while we cannot order you to do so, we are asking you to stay at home, to stay safe, and to be rested. Because we only get one shot at this.
Kaskrin does that thing where, like, he wants to be out patrolling, but the second Namgar says, like, no, I want you to stay home, it's like, oh, I can finally just, like, relax. Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Like, Val has the same reaction.
Yeah.
Cass is already in his pajamas.
Yeah.
He's been stripping. There's just armor just strewn the whole way.
Yeah, it's like Addie's soldier, and it's like, oh, God, finally.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's definitely the vibe, is, like, a little bit of, like, an Addie's, like, you guys have done enough, and, like, we know that it's a lot to ask, but, like, we do not want you out there the next 2 days.
Checkers would probably be like, well, I was going to do that anyway, so cool.
We know that we are asking a difficult thing of you. We've canceled a few things that we can. There is no pilgrimage to refuge before the festival. We thought it prudent to, especially with the members of the bones going missing, to postpone it. We've come up with some excuse, I don't know what, but we are going to proceed as planned. And hope for the best, and hope the gods watch over this city.
Val is like too tired to really ask a lot of questions. She has them, but she's just uncharacteristically quiet.
It is a good plan, Smart. We will stay inside and rest. If anything does happen and you need us, have somebody come by.
Of course. And this about this time is when you guys hit your guild hall. Namgar kind of looks around and says, "All right, again, well done today. You did good work. And the city is better for having you in it." And he kind of just gives you guys a nod and starts walking off. And you see him turn into Torts and Ports. Just down the street.
And you hear shouts of like,
"No!" Exactly, 100%. And you hear a loud booming dog bark in the background as a sweet boy welcomes him. And as you're watching him go into the bar, the Fortunate is there and has, they haven't really said anything. They've just kind of accompanied you guys. And they, before you go in, say, "I'm very glad you guys made it safe. And I hated leaving you all behind, but I'm glad you made the call you did. We are a people who have to forge our own identities, who are a shell within a shell within a shell, and losing what identity that we have carved out for ourselves is among the worst things that could happen to us. And you all have made sure that that didn't happen. Thank you." And then just kind of awkwardly turns away and starts walking.
"Take care of yourself. We'll see you in the morning."
And the Fortunate kind of gives one of those like lazy waves over their shoulder as they go back to the barracks. As you guys enter into the guild hall, the door swings open, and it is as you left it earlier in the day, perhaps feeling even warmer and more welcoming than when you left it, a feeling even more so of home and of comfort, especially in contrast for the wilds of today. And from deep in the recesses of the guild hall, you hear a lone voice cry out, "Oh, are you back? Oh, welcome, welcome, everybody." And you hear Berga calling for you. And that, we will, then the camera pans back as the lights flip on for the guild hall and you guys all enter for a night of well-earned rest. And that is where we will leave it for this week.
Hey.
We're back.
You're back. Great job, everybody.
I was hoping it was Taroth that was calling.
Believe me.
Like a flower just crashes.
I almost made that call and I was like, "Nah, we'll make it nicer."
We're standing outside the guild hall and something. Taroth just throws a potted plant to try and hit us.
Bye, everyone.
Yay!
Bye.